KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a brand new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
From KCRW in Santa Monica, this is The Treatment.
Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. You can also hear the show at KCRW.com. My guest, director Brad Bird, has used animation as a format to tell stories of real emotional intimacy, from The Iron Giant, a really underseen and neglected film, to The Incredibles, which you may have heard of, to his newest film as a director, Ratatouille. Brad, thanks so much for being here.
It's a pleasure.
What's the movie about?
The movie is about a rat who has a very special gift that puts him at odds with all his fellow rats, and that's that he has a very advanced taste and smell senses, and wants to use them for fine cooking. And through a bunch of very strange events, he actually winds up in a position to kind of do that by working in tandem with this sort of hapless garbage boy who has no skills whatsoever. It's kind of a Cyrano kind of thing.
It's probably the most intimate animated film storytelling I've ever seen.
Really?
It really is such a small-scale story, given that it basically takes place almost in one location, really.
Yeah. It has a way disproportionate amount of it takes place in the kitchen. And that sounds horrifying, doesn't it? But if you can get enough stuff happening and it means enough to the audience and they've been through a journey before they get to the kitchen, then everything that goes down in the kitchen has some consequences and you're interested. And I've never heard anybody say, too much time in the kitchen, man, so far. You know, everybody doesn't even realize because, well, to a rat, too, a kitchen is the size of, Cleveland. So, it's not like it's a tiny place from the rat's point of view.
But in terms of emotional scale, it's so different from Iron Giant and from The Incredibles. I was just kind of drawn back to both Family Dog, which also takes place in a house, and even some of the Don Bluth stuff, which is also about real emotional intimacy, too.
You know, this was Jan Pinkava's idea, who did won the Oscar for Jerry's Game. And they asked me to come on to the project a little over a year and a half ago. And because they loved the premise and the collection of character types and the world, but they didn't have a story that worked. They were, it was like, they built this really elaborate toy that no one could quite figure out how to play with. And so, I came onto it. And then at first it was like, a film school problem, like you have, it has to be about this and this is the cast of characters. You can add some and you can take some away, but this is sort of it. And otherwise animation starts in X number of months and go. I had a lot to do in a short period of time, and so I can't even really tell you what it is. I can tell you this blur of thoughts that I had while I was doing it, but I wrote stuff and we recorded it instantly with the people, and got it into animation. So any observations are just I haven't had any time to reflect on the project, which I actually think worked in the film's favor. I mean, I think it feels sort of spontaneous.
It's a treatment. My guest is director Brad Bird. His new film is Ratatouille. I'm reminded of the really wonderful kind of frenetic pace of some of the Tex Avery stuff in terms of the constant movement in Ratatouille, too.
Well, it's a physical comedy, It's that was one of the things that I was most attracted to, and the idea was the opportunities for physical comedy because, this sort of garbage boy and this rat have to find a way to work together so that no one knows that the rat is there, but the rat, has to tell somehow, and the rat can't talk to the garbage boy how to cook because the rat's the one who is the talent, and the other guy is just this, kind of idiot. Well, not idiot. He's just sort of hapless. He's not an idiot. To all you idiots out there, I mean no disrespect, you know.
Well, I'm offended, but that's okay.
I offended myself just then. He's really kind of, they have to make this sort of Cyrano arrangement where they have to work together. And that just is ripe for physical comedy. And so the animator in me, because that was, you know, that's where I started, was as an animator, you know, just loved that aspect to it and really wanted to try to write scenes and design scenes that would take advantage of that.
Well, one of the things that I find a lot of in this movie and tends to run a lot in the stuff you do is that you tend to center on protagonists who are really stubborn.
Yeah. You might say it's autobiographical. yeah, I don't do it consciously. I mean, this is all news to me, but now I'm shamefully having to reexamine my life.
But clearly it's worked pretty well for you so far.
Well, now it has. You know, don't forget that I was trying to make movies for a long time before I got a chance to. So, you know, I keep thinking everyone's going to be my last. And I'm like trying to race to the next idea before they close the doors on me, you know. Because, you know, when you start sort of wait, you know, on the sidelines wanting to make films, you know, and for every idea that I've gotten made, I have three or four, you know, that I really want to make that I haven't gotten an opportunity to make. And some of them are I've never pitched, and a lot of them are, you know, in various, you know, bowels of the studios, you know, all over L.A. And I believe in those projects as much as I believe in the ones that I've gotten to make. So, you know, I'm just, you know, really happy to being given, you know, the opportunities to tell stories in film, and I'm moving quickly before they realize that, you know, oh, my God. He's got another one, you know? Someone stop him. No, it's too late. It's in production. Damn. You know? That's sort of my paranoid mindset.
Well, you better stop making so much money before they catch on to you here. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, yeah. Well, if you want to talk seriously, you know, I want them to return, obviously. I want them to do well for the studios because I want to do another one. And, you know, people during award season, they ask you, you know, how great is this award or that award? And quite frankly, the best part about winning awards is that they make other people relax about, like, letting you do a film. You know, if you have some awards behind you, people feel a little more like, oh, well, maybe this guy won't screw it up, you know? So that's the best tangible reason. I mean, you know, it's an honor and all of that stuff. But I think the most useful thing about an award is that it relaxes people, you know. And there's just so much fear in the movie business, you know.
Well, it's so funny because I just find so often in these things that you do that the protagonists are reacting against either bureaucracy or complacency or both.
If they were more efficient, they'd combine those two things into one department, I think. You know, bureau complacency or something. I think that, I've felt that way. You know, I've always felt that there always seem to be a number of these people, usually in middle management of whatever the organization is, who, their job is basically to slow things down and slow progress down. And I remember getting in very heated, you know, things where I'm just foaming at the mouth, you know, in my early 20s when people tend to foam the most. And just about how much further along we'd be in every way if there weren't these, you know, armies of people determined to, you know, stop, you know, progress and good ideas and creativity and whatever good thing you can mention. You know, it just seems like, you know, it takes a ton of energy to overcome it. I mean, anyone who's been to the DMV knows, I mean, can recognize that quality in many other parts of life. And, you know, I always enjoyed in Beetlejuice that the afterlife was kind of like the DMV before you got moved on, you know.
hosts The Treatment. My guest is director Brad Bird, explaining his life and bureaucracy to all of us. His new film.
Not meaning to, by the way.
His new film is Ratatouille. But that's funny because that obstacle gives the characters, these protagonists, so much energy. I mean, it really is this energy being directed at this immovable force.
I think that I connected with this was not my idea, and I was sort of asked to take on this film. And I had to find a way to connect with it. And this was a rat with an enormous obstacle, because rats are death to a kitchen. And, if you find a rat in a good kitchen particularly, they'll close the restaurant down, you know. By the same token, a kitchen is death to a rat, because people immediately want to kill the rat. So it was this huge obstacle for the main character. And I started relating to that, you know, is like all the obstacles I sort of had, you know, trying to find a way to express myself the way I wanted to, you know, be able to be in the medium that I love the most and make things. And you know, film is an expensive medium, less so now than it's been for a long time, thanks to video. But it's a very crowded, you know, place with a limited number of spaces. And it's a raft that everyone wants to get on, but it's not that big of a raft.
I guess, though, it makes me wonder, because the films so far of all, even though The Incredibles and Ratatouille could be thought of remotely sort of contemporary, but they feel kind of like period films, too. Ratatouille almost feels like a film from the 30s, like a Lubitsch comedy or something.
Oh, cool. Well, great. Thank you. I like Lubitsch. One of the things that I connected with the heads of Pixar, John Lasseter and Steve Jobs and Ed Catmull, is that they're not focused on the short term. Even though they're in a business that's really quickly moving and the platforms are changing, and Steve Jobs and, well, all of them are familiar with, you know, what the current technology is. Pixar has gotten a lot of attention for that. But their mind is on what's going to be cool 100 years from now, you know. I've been in the room when people have pushed Steve, back when Steve was more involved, to include somebody in on the film, have somebody do a song over the end titles or something that was really hot at that moment. And I've seen Steve say, I don't care about who's hot this moment. I want somebody who's going to be cool, you know, 10, 20, 100 years from now. And that's the goal that's my goal in making a film is I don't mind if it has, some residue of the times, but I want it to be something that is still sort of connects with people a long time from now. And, my favorite films, I think, those that are new, I think they will stand the test of the time, and the ones that are old, you know, have. But those are the films that I'm most, you know, hold close, are the ones that still get me wrapped up in them very quickly. And it doesn't even matter how many times I've seen them. If Godfather is on the television and it's halfway through, I will gradually, I might just be passing by it and suddenly I'll stop moving and I'll stand wherever I am for maybe 2 or 3 minutes. And then I'll end up sitting at the nearest place I can sit and holding whatever it was that I was holding as I'm moving to the next room. And pretty soon I'm sitting down and I'll watch the rest of it because I'm wrapped up, you know. And I would love, you know, I aspire to do work that does that to other people. You know, I don't know if I'll ever hit it, but I want to.
We'll take a break. My guest director, Brad Bird, is at Pixar, where his newest film comes from. It's Ratatouille. There's a romantic comedy about a rat who's visited by the ghost of a suicidal chef.
That's exactly how to sell it. From Disney and Pixar.
Somebody's got to bring that Truffaut aspect to animation, and thank God you did it.
Thank you.
I'm Elvis Mitchell. I'm hungry. It's The Treatment. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to The Treatment with Elvis Mitchell from the studios of KCRW Santa Monica.
Welcome back. It's The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. You can also hear the show at kcrw.com. My guest is director Brad Bird. His new film as director is Ratatouille. We should talk about this because you had Thomas Keller of The French Laundry up near where you are and
yes.
per se here in New York actually prepare real menus for you guys to use as kind of a real backdrop.
Yeah, he was our consultant on the film. And I think even more, we needed to know that we wanted our stuff to, even though it's a completely non-realistic movie, we wanted it to have, you know, a feeling of that world and be sort of true to it. The most interesting thing was that this film was being developed even as far back as 2000 when I first came up to do The Incredible. So I was familiar with the film's development. You know, I'm part of the story trust group or whatever that goes over all the films. And we meet probably once or twice a year on every project. You know, we'll look at the state of it and then give, you know, our thoughts. And so I was aware of the film through all the way through The Incredibles. And one of the things that I said, you know, in these early meetings is, wait a minute, you know, are you saying, you know, you're going to have the big killer climax be this stew, you know, a vegetable stew? I mean, it doesn't look that great. Ratatouille, when most people cook it, kind of looks like sort of like dog food. I mean, it's like just kind of beige, you know, if they overcook it. And I think a lot of people do. But anyway, it doesn't look that spectacular. And the audience isn't going to be able to eat it. And they're not going to be able to smell it. But when I got involved with the film, I started realizing this idea is very elegant, you know, that it ties into the title and all this. And so, you know, what does a good ratatouille look like? And it started to look a little better, but it still kind of looked like a stew. But I wanted to keep the idea in. And we actually said to Thomas Keller, what would you do with ratatouille? And he just took it without any preparation. We had cameras there. And he just kind of invented his take on ratatouille. And that's the ratatouille that appears in the end of the movie. It's Thomas Keller's take on it. And I think it's the first one that I've ever seen that looks delicious. It looks like I want to have that right now. And so we made that Remy's ratatouille, and it doesn't look like anyone else's ratatouille. It's unusual, which is really cool for our main character. But, you know, we filmed him doing it and making it, and then we emulated it in the film.
One of the things that works so constantly in the film is its real sense of food for Remy, the character, the lead character voiced by Patton Oswalt, the sense that the food actually looks like something a person would want as compared to what his family would eat, which is garbage.
Yeah, that was a big challenge to the team because this was a film about fine food, and if it didn't look really good, then, you know, you weren't going to really buy the story that well. I don't think this is the only animated film that has made food look good. I actually think Miyazaki makes food look really good. And I mean, I feel like I can taste it. You know, my kids get hungry when we watch a Miyazaki film. They want bao and they want, I want noodles, Dad, you know, because the characters in a Miyazaki film really enjoy their food so much. And it looks like it's, you know, really prepared.
Sure, there's a sense of the steam rising off the Miyazaki food, but the food in this movie also seems incredibly tactile. We're really made aware of the characters touching it all the time, which is, you
right.
worked on The Simpsons. You know, food never looked like food on The Simpsons.
No, no. But, it looks pretty – it looks about as appealing as everybody else in The Simpsons.
But the fact that food is something that's constantly touched here and shown had to be a big challenge for you to deal with too.
There was a lot of research done. A lot of our animators actually took food classes and went into a kitchen and had somebody, you know, coaching them on how to prepare it. They shot footage. They watched people move in the kitchen because we wanted our cooks. There's an efficiency to the way real chefs work that is a physical. I mean, you can physically identify people that are, you know, really familiar with good cooking. There's an ease that and an economy of movement that they do that's very distinctive. So animators got to do with that. And we also really did had to use a lot of things that we'd learned over all of the previous films to come into play to make it look tasty. You know, things There are weird things like a subsurface scattering, which is used in The Incredibles and Finding Nemo to, make fish or people's skin look more tactile and not like plastic, you know, with makeup on it. And what it is when light hits skin, it actually goes beneath the skin and hits blood vessels under the skin. And then that light comes back up through the skin. And it's a subtle effect. But you know it when it's there. It makes a face feel more alive and not like plastic or something. So we take that kind of technique, and there's a million others, and apply it to something like a grape, so that the light will hit the surface, you know, the peel of the grape, and bounce around and hit things underneath the grape, and then come back through the grape. And it's again, they look close to a grape that looks plastic, but one of them will look like a wax imitation grape, and one of them looks like something you want to eat.
I guess I find myself just thinking, though, about how much I used the word intimacy before, but I mean, I would say that certainly The Incredibles and Iron Giant were epic pieces. And I brought up Family Dog earlier because that's a piece about a put-upon character, a really put-upon character.
Yes.
And there's some of that here in Ratatouille as well. And a much smaller scale because of that.
Right. Well, I think that both Family Dog and this film, they're from the point of view of the animal. And Family Dog, the dog is, even though it's designed to not look, completely stylized and not remotely realistic, the dog didn't talk and you couldn't hear its thoughts like Garfield or something like that, you know, and the challenge was how do you let everyone know what he's thinking and feeling without resorting to that. And on this film, you know, the rat does talk in terms of the audience hearing it, but it is from the point of view of the rat, a lot of it. And that's actually interesting cinematically because, when you get close to the floor, and you're that size, and the floor is massive because you're from the point of view of a tiny thing, suddenly the floor becomes a character and the room becomes a character. And it's neat because it's you can bring the audience with you, you know. And it's, you know, it's, the kitchen is a scary place when burners are lighting up and knives are flying around and all of that when you're a little rodent close to the floor.
One of the things that was fascinating too about this that you talked about Remy's point of view, and it's so strong that even when there are points in the movie where he doesn't talk for long periods of time, we don't hear his voice, we're still immersed in his point of view.
It was a really small little victory, but it ended up paying off big dividends. One of the changes that I made when I took on the project, they had the idea of Remy controlling Linguini from under the hat. But the hat was not transparent. So Remy was constantly either in the dark or had to peek his little head out. And I found myself really always thinking somebody's going to see him, somebody's going to see him, and hating the idea that he was in the dark and that we couldn't. And so I suggested making it like a scrim, in a theater where you put light behind a scrim and you can see through it, but you put light on the front and you can't. And that one little idea really helped us connect Remy with the kitchen more. And so that very soon, once you cut to that point of view, you don't even have to say that you're seeing things from Remy's perspective. You know that you are. And it kind of keeps him in the scene even when he's visibly not.
It's The Treatment. My guest at Pixar is director Brad Bird. His new film is a Pixar film, Ratatouille. It's The Treatment. But I guess I find myself just saying that just because his point of view, I mean, even though, as you mentioned, it's definitely a Cyrano-type story, but it's his involvement that has to bring the audience in. And it sounds like so much of what you did was what we think of directors as doing is problem solving so that these what seem like insurmountable obstacles can actually be broken through.
Well, you try to explain the idea to people and it just sounds so bizarre that strangely, we've had a little bit of trouble trying to get people like pumped about this because they can't quite figure out how it's going to work. So they automatically assume that it isn't. I mean, the press on this, from people who haven't, of course, seen anything,
are like, Pixar's headed for their first failure because we know that rats are disgusting, and what were they thinking? And didn't they see that article about the rats in Kentucky Fried Chicken? And which is all insane because it's like this movie was started in 2000, how could we see into the future, with our amazing Pixar technology, so this idea, which amused everybody here, there's a piece of the world that just goes, rats are disgusting, therefore can't be a good film about them. And I just like, well, whatever, man, I'm going forward. And rather than make the rats like little humans, which is kind of one of the earlier versions of the film did in story reel form, I felt that that was a mistake and that there was some power to be had in the fact that the rats prompt that kind of reaction in people. And I actually pushed the animators to lengthen the tails back again and put them on four legs and make them more rat-like so that our lead character, the Remy, is choosing to walk on two legs and choosing to emulate humans. And I think that there's a tendency in movies to rush all this stuff now to get to the big explosion or whatever the funny premise is, to race to it. And there's actually, I think audiences are still interested in the how does this happen? And being taken through step by step that idea. So I actually felt that there was a lot of entertainment to be had in figuring out how step by step, how they kind of bumble their way into finding a way to deal with this insurmountable problem.
But isn't that a weird sort of question to get from people about a studio whose most known character essentially is a rat?
Well, he's a mouse, and he is 3 feet tall, and he wears pants and
gloves,
and has a dog and a home, and is it Glendale, or I don't know where he lives exactly. He's there. He doesn't like to be bothered now. So all you autograph seekers, don't go to his door. Keep the illusion alive. Disney never questioned this. Disney was all ready to, they were signed on to it. But there's a feeling, and it's just about rats, I guess. It's just about rats. You just want to say, come on, man. There's, the Elephant Man is a ugly character who you find its heart, Quasimodo, Frankenstein. There's a long history of having characters that your first reaction is ick and then pushing past it. Rather than taking all the ick out of it, I think it's better to just go ahead and let the audience have some of those feelings and then move past them. That's kind of what, filmmaking and storytelling is all about.
Well, we're out of time. Brett, thank you so much for doing this, really.
No problem, Elvis. Really love this show.
My guest is Brad Bird. He's at Pixar. We're talking about rats and food and all kinds of great things. The movie actually is really quite wonderful. It's Ratatouille. Our technical director at KCRW in Santa Monica is Mario Diaz, with assistance at Carnegie Recording Studios from Noriko Akabe and Steve Harwood and Vince Caro at Pixar. The editor is Bob Carlson. Gemma Dempsey is producer. Let's all go eat. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment.
An audio archive of this and other programs can be found at kcrw.com. For questions and comments about The Treatment, please email us at thetreatment@kcrw.com. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a brand new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.